Welcome to The Convo. I am your host, Lakeisha Mosley. I'm a mom, a blogger, a brand influencer, and the event producer of my own event management company called The LM Experience. On The Convo, you'll hear conversations with some of the most profound entrepreneurs from all over the world as they share with us their wins and their losses. They'll also share tips and tricks with you that will help you be successful along this journey called entrepreneurship. Let's get started with the show. We're hearing a lot of talk about a second wave of the coronavirus, but this expert says it's not going to be one of thousands more people dying of COVID-19. Rather, it's going to be a wave of millions of people that are going to see their credit ratings plummet and their financial health destroyed. Tune into this episode as I talk to Dr. Michael C. Grayson, who is known as the world's leading credit expert. He's going to talk to us about ways that we can eliminate debt legally and how he can help us. Stay tuned. Good evening, Dr. Grayson. Thank you so much for joining me on Convo with Keisha. How are you?
Excellent. How about yourself?
I am doing so great. And I'm so excited to talk to you tonight because you got some good info to share with the listeners today.
Excellent.
Yes. So excited. So before we jump into all the goodies you're going to share, start first by telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay. So I'm in the access to capital business. So my typical client is a small business owner. He is broke and has bad credit. So he will come to me, I will solve his credit problems, and then I will give him unlimited access to capital. Currently, I hold all three credit industry records, including the highest recorded credit score, which is a perfect 990.
So, wow.
You know, I've done two expert papers for two different presidents. I've been invited to speak before Congress. I do workshops for the governor, for the attorney general, for different congressmen. I ran a program here right before coronavirus for the mayor, in which we were trying to raise the aggregate credit scores of the entire city. But unfortunately, coronavirus kind of sidetracked that, but we'll pick it back up. So I have a very unique understanding of the credit scoring model because I wrote my own algorithm, which is still the only credit restoration algorithm available in the country. So we know exactly how that model behaves. So we can give anybody perfect credit in about 3 to 6 months, no matter what your problem is.
Oh, wow. Well, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Sounds really good. So we're going to dive in to all of this. So what is the overall strategy for small businesses to survive the coronavirus?
Okay, excellent. So the first thing is you have to stop the bleeding. A lot of businesses can't reopen, or they're partially reopen, or they're trying to struggle to get access to capital to reopen. So either way, they have a revenue problem. You know, they have a cash flow problem. Mm-hmm. So the first thing to do is shut down all your payments. So one of the things that no one is talking about, which is very upsetting, is the CARES Act provision for creditor deferment. So every creditor in the entire country has been encouraged by Congress to offer some type of hardship coronavirus programming.
Right.
So, but you have to ask for it. Now, some creditors are proactive. For instance, Geico Insurance, they email me every month and say, hey, you're on auto payment. Would you like to shut down your auto payment and take advantage of a 3-month deferment? Same thing with, I have U.S. Bank for my car loan. They email me every month and say, hey, why aren't you taking advantage of the coronavirus program? So some creditors are actively letting you know. The others will not give it to you unless you ask. So every person that's listening that's been affected by coronavirus should shut down all payments. Now, I know you guys have some monies, or maybe you got a little stimulus money and those, or you're working part-time, but the idea behind shutting down the creditor payments is that you need to build a nest egg or a reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to coronavirus, Pew Research did a study, and they identified one of the main problems, and most Americans could not put their hands on $500 in the case of a financial emergency. So that's why this provision was built into law. So
right.
It's there to save you. So you need to have a reserve, a financial reserve. If no other reason, you know, there's a vaccine that is on its way in a couple of months. And I've seen some studies that say that the vaccine could cost you as much as $3,200 after insurance.
Right. So
if there's a vaccine for coronavirus and you don't can't put your hand on $3,200, that would be devastating.
Yes.
Start saving up your money. Please don't. You don't want all the rich people to be well, and this disease is only killing off poor people. That is right. What I'm afraid of. So right. Set up the deferment program. If you don't know how to do it, you know, I have a book on Amazon called How to Stop Making Payments. For $3, you can get this ebook, and it has the forms in there to shut down all your creditor payments. Now, once you have shut down the payments, the next step and the second reason for participating in that program, so I have some clients who understand, hey, maybe they deferred their mortgage, deferred one of their credit cards. But what I make them do is defer every single credit relationship.
Right.
Bill everything. So again, part of it is for the nest egg, but the other part is the CARES Act has a provision for credit protection. So if you are affected by COVID-19 adversely, you can retroactively clean your credit back to January 1 automatically.
Oh, wow.
So let's say you didn't know about it. You just heard it on Lakeisha's program. You can, and you missed a couple payments here and there. The creditor will take that off of your credit as long as you cite that you're in one of these hardship programs. So I have a car payment. I missed a couple payments because of COVID-19. So I got 2 or 3 late payments on my credit. No problem. You call them up tomorrow, say, hey, include me in your hardship program. Here's my hardship letter. And once you're enrolled, you can apply to the credit bureau to remove all of those late payments. So now you have perfect credit. In fact, it is so easy to get perfect credit right now because of COVID-19. If you don't have perfect credit this year, you probably won't have it anytime soon. There's no reason for any of your listeners not to have perfect credit by the end of the year. There's no reason.
Right. Oh my God, Dr. Grace, so you dropped a nugget.
So once you have perfect credit, you eventually, now I've talked to some of my friends are presidents of banks and VPs. So they're telling me that starting August 1, which is Saturday, they're going to start reopening their lending programs gradually. And they're going to open up through the end of the year. Right now, for the last couple of months, like a good friend of mine runs Chase Business Banking. And right before COVID-19, back in March, before they shut it down, he had over $40 million that was pre-approved and marked for closing. So these people went through the application process. All they had to do was sign loan documents to get their money. And corporate told them, shut it down. Do not lend any money that's apart from SBA money.
Oh, wow.
So most lenders got out of the lending business, but they're looking to start relending next month. But the problem is they're only lending to people with very good or perfect credit. The caveat is if you have perfect credit, you have access to all the money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because there's going to be so few people with good credit. You know, I have two credit cards with First National. You know, they called me up and said, hey, we're raising your line of credit. And they didn't even do an inquiry. They just boosted my line of credit. Mm. Now, that flies in the face of, I saw a survey from banks 2 days ago, and they said that a third of Americans have either lost their line of credit or had it cut since COVID-19.
Oh, wow.
So that is a lot of people losing their lines of credit or getting their credit limits cut. So that is a problem that we're trying to shut it down.
Right, right.
Part of that is driven by the drop in credit score. So that is why I'm, you know, I got my agent out here, get me out here so we can get this information to everybody.
Yes, and I am totally just grateful for that, and really excited that you're sharing. And I hope these listeners, I hope y'all got pen and paper, honey. Right. Some of y'all in my inbox talking about what's how to help with your credit and all of that stuff. So definitely make sure that you are paying attention and listening, because this is really, really good information. So you talked a little bit about, you know, funding for small business, and a lot of my audience, a lot of the listeners now that are listening to you are small business entrepreneurs. Excellent. All of those things, and they don't know all of the types of funding. So can you tell us?
Okay, so there's three easy programs that every small business in the country qualifies for money. Every single one. I don't care if you're sole proprietorship, you working out your basement, it doesn't matter, you qualify. So there's EIDL, and then there's PPP, right? Okay. Emergency disaster loan. It takes two forms. Now, unfortunately, we lost one, but they're going to bring it back in a couple weeks. So I want you prepared for this. So there's two parts to EIDL. One is a grant and one is a loan. Mm-hmm. So the first grant is up to $10,000. If you simply apply, you will get that money. You will get it. You will get it. If you simply apply, as long as you've been in business before January, that is the fastest 10 grand I've ever gotten.
Right.
It's crazy. You apply, and then in a couple days, that money's in your bank account, mysteriously. Mm-hmm. Good situation. There's very few, if I would say that's a no-doc loan, no documentation. Now, mm-hmm. The second part of EIDL, once you're in and you're approved for the grant, they will consider you for a loan. And again, the loan is minimum or no documentation. So with the loan, it goes up to, theoretically up to 2 million, but it almost everybody can qualify up to 150,000.
Okay.
You know, after 150,000, they're going to hit you with a lot of documentation. So there's very few of my clients that really need that kind of heavy cash infusion. So mm-hmm. If you can't go full doc, if you don't have 2 years tax return, financials, you know, 740, 740, if you don't have all that documentation, then keep your request under $100,000. Okay. You know, for $150,000, they have to investigate you very thoroughly, and it will take much longer. You know, realistically, I would say 70% of my clients, we've requested less than 100 grand, and they have gotten that money like clockwork within 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
3 weeks from the time you apply, it's actually in your bank account. So when you apply for this, if you do it the right way, within 48 hours, they will send, okay, so immediately when you apply, they will give you a loan number. Mm-hmm. 48 hours, they will email you a link to your own personalized website for tracking. If you don't do that in 48 hours, you have done something wrong.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Call them, or whoever's handling it for you, need to call them. Within 48 hours, like clockwork, you should have a link. So now when you go to the link, there's three parts to the link. So the first part is you will get a range for the amounts of loans you can apply for. and you can take the maximum or the minimum or anything in between. You confirm the amount that you're requesting for the loan. The second part is confirming your identity.
Mm-hmm.
You do both of those things online, takes you less than 10 or 15 minutes. Once that is done, now you're waiting for the approval process. So once you confirm both of those, they will tell you your application is pending approval.
Okay.
So 2 weeks from that day, like clockwork, you should get an email from them saying your loan is approved. The only time it's not approved, like even for me personally, I had a loan that was flagged, but they were very good. They called me and they said, hey, we're flagging your loan. Because I have a financial services business, lenders can't lend money to anybody that lends money.
Oh, so okay.
Financial services business, if you have financial in your name, they're assuming that you lend money. So you're flagged automatically. So make sure you call these folks. So I called them up, you know, I sent them some docs so they can verify who I am, what I do, and I convinced them that I did not lend money. And the lady was very nice. She said, well, let me take it to my supervisor.
Mm-hmm.
Did a very thorough job. And she called me back like 2 minutes later. She said, oh, that's all right. I'm going to just go ahead and approve you.
Oh, wow.
So once it says approve, then you will get closing documents. You go back to the portal. You simply accept, you know, initial and sign for the closing documents. There's mm-hmm. only 3 signatures. And then within 3 days, the money will be in your bank account.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a very good system. It's very well. And this lady called me last week on a Sunday. And I was like, because normally I don't answer my phone Sunday evening. You know, it's right. Sunday. I don't do any business on Sunday. But this was my business line. So I picked it up. And she said, you know, this is so-and-so for an SBA. And I was like, oh, this is probably a scam, right?
Right.
Don't work on Sunday. She said, listen, we got so many applications that we are authorized to still work on Sunday trying to get you guys this money. She was very nice. Once she realized who I was, she Googled me and we had a very candid conversation. I said, hey, look, you know, you guys are about to run out of money. So make sure you push my loan through very quickly.
Right.
Right? I was just laying it out there. And she said, don't worry, Dr. Grayson. You know, once you have a control number, you're going to get money. As long as you get approved, you get money.
Oh, wow.
You got to encourage everybody you know to apply for the EIDL.
Okay.
Now, after that, the Paycheck Protection Loan. So now that's another loan. Goes up to $2 million and beyond. So initially, it was designed or earmarked for businesses under 500 employees. Again, under 150,000 is very straightforward,
mm-hmm.
but they will do millions, as you've seen in the news, millions of dollars, but it's a much more rigorous process. You have to make sure you're applying with somebody you know or somebody that has a relationship with the bank.
Mm, okay.
So what has happened, which it wasn't meant to be this way, but banks pick and choose who they want to get this money.
Okay. So
it's driven by relationship banking, and that is unfortunate, but that is just the realism.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you an example. So again, you know, I have a friend that works at a very big bank. I'm not going to say who it is, but I said, you know, what's the inside track? Because, you know, I want to get all my clients this money. He said, no problem. He said, the first thing is pull out all your clients that have an account at our bank. Those are the people we can fast track. He said, everybody else, unfortunately, I'm going to have to put in the queue. I can't push them forward.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, that first day that they released the funds to the banks, they had gotten over 600,000 applications. And this is for, normally he said they process around 10,000 to 20,000 applications a week. They got 600,000 in a day.
Hmm.
So same thing with those guys. You know, he called me on like a Sunday night because his entire team was working the entirety of the weekend, 7 days, trying to get these things processed. But at that point, he was only on number 40,000 out of 600,000 applicants. So the PPP, you have to make sure you're a full doc employer. You have to make sure you have tax returns, you have very good bookkeeping, financials, you know, in order for you to qualify. EIDL is very straightforward, minimum or no docs, but PPP is driven by the paperwork. So you have to have the paperwork and you have to have the relationship. So another internal name for relationship is banks where you have an excess of an average daily balance of $10,000. Prefer $50,000 where they consider that a relationship. But if you have over $10,000 average daily balance, they consider you a good client. So if you're not tracking at least 10 grand, you know, your bank is really doesn't care as much. So in that case, I would suggest you find somebody like me that has very good relationships and let us apply for the PPP for you.
Okay.
It's tough to navigate by yourself unless you have large deposits in a bank.
Right. Okay.
So I always remind the banks, you know, check the bank statement. You know, when we're, I sent you bank statements, even though you have them in your system, I sent them to you and I highlighted certain things.
Right.
You know, that's what you got to do. And then the final thing, which I hate to mention, but, you know, it wasn't initially supposed to be this way, but they will check your credit.
Okay.
The government mandate, especially at the SBA, has always been don't do business with anyone under 680 FICO. Now, for PPP, they are making some exceptions, and they're dipping down to the lower 600s, but please make sure you're in the 600s or you will be getting turned down or delayed indefinitely and you won't know why.
Okay.
They always check your credit. They always.
Okay.
Really, you want to be over 680 to be guaranteed. So the people who go through very quickly in our process have a 680 FICO score. The whoever the signer is for the company. They have to have majority ownership in the company and the corporate signer.
Oh, wow. That's great. So let me ask you this. In order to get PP, the PPL, do you have to have employees already?
It's paycheck protection. So theoretically, if you are the only employee, you still qualify. But it's designed for people who have at least 8 employees. Those are the people who are going through the fastest.
Okay.
So it's paycheck protection. It's designed so that 60% of this money is going, filtering down or trickling down to the employees to keep the money circulating in the economy.
Right.
Now you've seen some examples, you know, just 2 days ago, I saw this guy got $1 million+. And he bought a Lamborghini, and you see they arrested him right away.
Yes.
So they're locking folks up because 60% of that money should go to your employees. So please, you know, hire some folks, you know, hire people. This money is designed for employees, not for the employers.
Right. And that's how they get caught up, not doing what they're supposed to be doing with that money.
And the money seems very easy to get to. And again, if you have an inside connection at the bank or you have a relationship with the bank, that's why so many multimillionaires and billionaires are getting PPP.
Mm-hmm.
You know that these guys don't need that money. You know, who was that? Kanye West, you know,
he's
a billionaire. How the heck did he get a couple $1 million in PPP money?
Yeah.
Even need that. But the better your relationship with the banks, the faster you get the money.
Right. Oh, okay. Y'all better be taking notes. This is some good stuff right here. Good stuff. So you did touch on your credit.
Yes.
Okay. So can you repair your credit right now?
I bet you want to know if you can repair your credit right now. Stay tuned, because right after this commercial break, Dr. Grayson is going to give us the answer to that question. But right now, a word from our sponsor.
There's no question about it. It's the best time. And let me tell you this, some of my clients have credit problems, some have debt problems. Those are two different equations.
Okay.
The credit bureaus are not physically open, but they have a lot of remote staffing. So, you know, we have some direct contacts to the credit bureaus. And so I know that they're still doing credit work, mm-hmm. but moving a lot slower, and they have a built-in excuse not to comply. So you have to really, you know what you're doing to get the work done. But coronavirus is a beautiful way to clean your credit. So again, the CARES Act gives you a provision for credit protection, provided you have been negatively affected by COVID-19.
Right.
So you should be cleaning your credit, and you should be wiping your debt. So I'll give you an example. So I have a client that's a doctor who, you know, they've had some cash flow problems because of COVID-19. Now, she had bought some equipment to the tune of about $1 million for her office. Now, sure, her payments are astronomical on it. She fell behind during COVID-19. And so they were seeking to take her to court for this. Now, mm-hmm. I'm able to step in and negotiate a very nice, they reduced that down to 10%, you know, because I encouraged them, because first of all, the courts are closed. So I told their attorney, the courts are closed. You're going to sue this woman who's broke because of COVID-19, you're not going to get none. Even if you get a judgment, you can't.
Right.
She's right. Broke. So, but listen, let me tell you what I can do. I can get you 10% right now, cash money that your creditor can take, and they can write off the rest and get it from Uncle Sam. So now is a good time to settle your bad debts. You know, don't let anybody sue you or take you to court. You should be able to settle with them, because they know what's really going on. They know that nobody has any money.
Right.
You know, remind people every day, COVID-19, that's all you have to say. When they say, why can't you pay? Give me 50%. These guys were like, give me 50%. And my response is always COVID-19. All right, we'll take 45% COVID-19. Can your client do 40% COVID-19? You know, it's making my job very straightforward.
Right. Right. Oh my gosh. You're absolutely right. Like, what are you gonna get right now?
What are you gonna get? Who are you gonna get it from? Millions. I mean, look at all the restaurants that were super profitable just here in New York City. Very profitable. Now they can't even open. Do you understand what those owners are going through? You know, months and months with zero revenues? Get out of here. Where do you get money from? How are you going to sue them? What are they can't even file bankruptcy. They don't have the money to do that.
Exactly.
So if I can, you know, defer most of their payments and position them with a little capital, you better get it. And I tell them, listen, the client only has this amount of money. If you don't get it, I got 5 other creditors lined up to come get it. What you want to do?
Exactly. And we'll take it.
Right. Oh, they took it. They take it every time. There's no question.
Yeah, and we'll take it.
Talk to them the right way and constantly remind them, because everybody's broke. Your creditors are stressed out and broke. So you have to, they're going to look for the easy way to get money. If they think you got money, they're going to try and, you know, drain you dry. So you just have to be very firm and very respectful and let them know COVID-19.
Exactly. Exactly. That's all I'm going to tell you right there. It's COVID-19.
And make sure. Now, I had a client that had called me the other day because, you know, he had actually heard me on the radio program, and he reached out to the creditor. They gave him a beautiful settlement, but the problem was they put on his credits, settled for less than full balance. Before you give the creditor any money, they have to agree to remove the item from your credit due to COVID-19.
Right.
So for less than full balance or paid after charge off, zero bounds, all that crap, it's not helping you. A paid charge-off scores the same as an unpaid charge-off.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So have a contingency letter.
Exactly. Exactly. So how can you reinstate a credit line that has been reduced?
Okay, so very good question. So again, there was a survey done recently. If you Google this in like 2 days ago, and the banks were reporting that they have closed or reduced up to a third of American consumers' credit lines.
Mm-hmm.
So this is affecting a lot of people. So the best thing to do, ideally, if you can catch them before they reduce it, or you could still use this technique after, but you want to tell them that you will go on auto pay. So save me personally, why I don't have any hassles with any of my creditors, and none of my clients has this happened to. I make every client that we have, all 10,000 of them, use auto pay.
Right.
Auto pay is speaking the creditor's language,
mm-hmm.
especially in coronavirus land. They want to be able to reasonably predict their future revenue stream.
Right.
So you have auto pay, they can count you in the positive column. And so that makes their reports look good.
Mm-hmm.
Don't like uncertainty. Trying to figure out if you're going to pay, if you're not going to pay, are you hurting, are you not hurting, that will give a banker a headache. So they will err on the side of caution. So you got a $20,000 limit and you're at $15,000, guaranteed they're going to drop your limit to $15,000. If it hasn't happened, it's coming.
Oh, wow.
Call them and say, hey, you know, I just heard Dr. Gracian on the phone, on the radio, and I want to sign up for auto pay.
Right. So
pay will save you. And if they've cut your line or closed your card, call them back and tell them you want to reinstate your card with auto pay and get your credit lines back.
And it's that easy.
Yes. The people perish for a lack of knowledge, unfortunately.
Exactly. Y'all,
a lack of money, a lack of knowledge.
Exactly. Y'all better be taking notes and making sure y'all heading over to Amazon to get Dr. Grayson's book.
How to Stop Making Payments. You please, it's $3, please. Please.
Yes, like come on. Like yeah, this is good stuff. So should distressed businesses borrow using the merchant cash advance?
Okay, so unfortunately, now as a company, we help clients get loans. And unfortunately, our biggest growing sector for our lending arm is merchant cash advances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a merchant cash advance, for those who don't know, is the quickest, easiest, fastest money for businesses on the planet. I won't say there's no credit check, but you can be in the 500s and still borrow this money. So as long as you have a business and a business bank account, in 2 or 3 days you can borrow on a merchant cash advance. So there's a lot of people flocking to that. The downside, that's the upside. The downside is that the interest rates are cost prohibitive. They're very disruptive to your business.
Mm-hmm.
They charge you a daily rate. So even at a max rate of 30% a day, over the course of a month, you've paid 900%.
Oh, wow.
So take a daily payment from you, and the rates are very crazy. So within 3 months, you've paid back double or triple, and you still owe the principal.
Hmm.
Be very painful for most small businesses.
Right.
What we do MCA loans, but we strongly encourage you to take some of that money, get into our credit program, and we give our clients 800 credit score, and then we refinance that at prime.
Okay.
I can do a prime loan. Now, I want to make sure all your listeners know this and write this down. Prior to COVID-19, I don't know what it's going to be after, but prior to COVID-19, anybody breathing that had a 720 credit score could borrow up to $250,000 unsecured.
Wow.
Anybody. So if four of you got together with 720 credit score, you could access $1 million all day long. Very easy, 2 weeks or less.
Right.
Now, after COVID, I'm forecasting that number is probably going to shift to about $100,000. But even that is still not bad. So at 720 credit score, you have access to capital in America. If you have less than 720, you can still get stuff, but you can't get any money.
Right.
That's why most creditors, that's where they want you. That's like the sweet spot. So they want you in the 600s. In the 600s, they can rob you on your rate, and they can control how much money you borrow.
Mm.
720, you don't hear nobody talking about that. You know, I saw this article, and they were like, you know, trying to get 800 credit score could actually hurt your credit. Oh, my God, is that a ridiculous article for morons?
Right.
Is striving for 800 credit score going to hurt your credit? But they can't. The most convoluted reasons, but that is what they're selling to people that don't know no better. People in communities are prone to be more accepting of these false messages.
Right.
You're more liable to be an economic slave. So nobody wants you to be 720. Like in my church, we have a teen ministry. So a year before their 18th birthday, we put the teens in one of my credit classes so that when they turn 18, 30 days later, they have a 700 credit score.
Oh, wow.
All of our teens. Let me tell you how scary. I'm going to tell you two scary situations. So one of our teens, he came out, and after about 6 months, he had an 800 credit score, right? So he went to a Honda dealership to buy his first car by himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he picked out a nice car. But he had a good job, though. He was a very brilliant kid, okay? But he was sitting at the dealership, and it was taking a long time. And he called me after a while because what had happened, the dealership pulled his credit, and they saw 800 credit score, and they saw how young he was, so they assumed it was ID theft. And they called the feds, and they stall him until we get there.
Oh, no.
So when the feds got there, he called me on his cell phone and put them on the phone. I said, listen, Google me. Please don't harass my client. That is his 800 credit score. You know, so they were very embarrassed, the dealership, and they gave him a heck of a deal on that new Honda because they were very embarrassed.
Exactly.
African American male had an 800 credit score, you know, and at that time, I think he was 20 years old. So another good scenario that came out of our teen credit ministry, we had a one of our teen couples. So they were, I think the wife was like 19, the husband was in his early 20s. And at the time she was pregnant. So they went in the class, you know, I helped them with their credit. Both of them were at 800 FICO score.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was underemployed, she was unemployed because she was pregnant. And so they were in desperate financial situation. And they were like, Doc, you know, we got these 800s. What can we do with it? There ain't nothing we can do with it.
Right.
Because they know I always preach, you got to turn your credit into money. They're just like, what am I going to do with it? And I said, first, you need an exit strategy. So decide a business that you're interested in, and then I'll take it from there. And they're like, we're not really good at business. Okay, what are you good at? So the wife was one of the best cooks in the church. I mean, she used to, for the big events, she would cook a whole bunch of stuff, set up a table in the church, and she would be sold out within minutes.
Wow.
Dude, yes, her food was amazing. Listen,
yeah.
Amazing. So she would always sell out. So I said, why don't you start a restaurant? And it was like, we didn't think about it. So they got with some professionals, decided to set up a restaurant. They told me they needed about $200,000. I was able to get them a loan for $300,000.
Wow.
Their restaurants, if you're in Brooklyn on Court Street, now I think it's closed down because of COVID, but if you Google Take a Break, I'll Bake, and you'll see these two young African-American couple, and I know they're clients because Court Street in Brooklyn is only high-end restaurants, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the best and nicest restaurants. So I know when their clients walked in there, they probably thought, oh my goodness, you know, these guys work here, right?
Right.
Because predominantly their client base was Caucasian and Asian. So whenever when I went to their store, I was tripping out. It was packed out, of course. And you see these two young African-American folks working behind the counter, and you just figure they work there. No. Yeah. I said, would be shocked to know that you guys own this place. But yeah, yeah. So you have to focus on your credit. That will give you the access to capital,
right,
that you really, really are looking for.
Right. Right. That is, these are some good gems, y'all. These are some good gems. So what about businesses, Dr. Grayson, that have, you know, tax lien issues?
Okay. Yeah, that is a very, very big problem. I would say 60% of our businesses always will invariably have some type of tax issue. So fortunately for you, the IRS has the best, it's called a debt filter. So a debt filter is a government program or law that eliminates your debt and fixes your credit simultaneously.
Mm.
The reason that I get called to speak before Congress and help presidents and that kind of thing is because I'm an expert in debt filtration.
Okay.
The way that you use debt filters, and I'm glad you brought this up, if you have a debt problem in this country, if you Google cancellation and forgiveness, so let's say you have a tax lien problem, the IRS is coming for you, right? The first thing you should do is Google tax lien, cancellation and forgiveness. That's the keywords. I'm giving your listeners the keys to the kingdom right now. So you Google tax lien, cancellation and forgiveness, and you will see the debt filter program offered by the IRS, which is one of the best in the country. It's called Offer in Compromise.
Mm.
In Compromise. So all of my clients that have any kinds of debt problems, I don't care what it is, before you pay your taxes or pay the IRS, I make sure they file an OIC. Now, if you guys are near your computers and you go to irs.gov, I want you to put in the search module, Offer in Compromise, and you'll see this program is phenomenal. So I'm gonna give you a couple highlights. Now, a lot of people who don't know about the OIC product, you know, they'll get a lien, an intent to levy. The IRS sends out thousands of these, hundreds of thousands of these every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that the business owner will call me in a panic mode. The IRS is coming for me. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I'm going to leave the country, file bankrupt. They don't know what to do. Okay, most people will call. There's always a number at the bottom and say, call us immediately or we're coming to take you all your stuff. Okay. Hopefully, if you call them, they're going to say, okay, we're going to make a payment arrangement for you. That payment arrangement is going to be brutal. Whoever these guys are that work in that division, all of them must have got their lunch monies taken when they were little. Because these are the worst kinds of people. They're going to take all your money. They're going to make a payment arrangement that you probably can't afford, but you're going to do it because you're scared of the IRS. A better strategy would be to call my office or at least go to this website, irs.gov, and look up Offer in Compromise. You'll see that an Offer in Compromise can be used in lieu of payment if you can't afford to pay your taxes. You will also see that if you are currently involved in a payment arrangement with the IRS, mm-hmm. or if you have an intent to levy, the Offer in Compromise, as soon as you file it, it shuts down all collection activity.
Mm.
I'm gonna say that again. As soon as you file it, and let me give you a good example. I was doing a meeting with some celebrities in my office, right? And so my secretary kept knocking on the conference door, and I was getting real angry because I was like, can't you see who I'm here with? Why the hell are you? I'm sorry. knocking on my door. And she would see how, you know, I would kind of, you know, shush her away. And she would walk away. But then she would come back again. And so eventually I said, you know, come on in. What do you want? Can't you see I'm busy? She said, this client is hysterical on the phone. He will not take a message. He will not go away. Will you please handle the call? I was like, oh my goodness. I was so mad. So I walked out of the meeting. I said, listen, give me a few minutes. Picked up the phone. It was one of my good clients, though. He was in straight panic mode, losing his mind. The IRS had brought their team to shut down his business. So they were packing his stuff. He had a retail operation. So I said, what is going on, man? He said, the IRS is here to shut me down. I said, well, why didn't you tell me I had a tax problem? He said, I thought I could handle it. I got somebody else to handle it, whatever. I said, put the agent in charge on the phone. There's always an agent in charge when they're coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
Put the agent on the phone. I said, hey, Mr. So-and-so, this is Dr. Michael C. Grayson. This person is a client of mine. You know, I'm not sure if he told you that, but I filed an OIC for him.
He said,
you sure? I said, yeah, I filed an OIC for this client. He said, oh, he didn't tell me that. And right there on the phone, he told his guys, hey, guys, put it all back. Wrap it up. We're out of here.
Dang, just like that.
Now let me tell you the funny part. This agent was funny because he wasn't playing, but he was funny, right? He said, oh, yeah, we're wrapping it up, Dr. Grayson. He said, by the way, make sure that OIC is on my desk tomorrow morning. I was laughing, but I wasn't really laughing. So, you know, immediately when I got out of that meeting and all night long till about 4 o'clock in the morning, I prepared that OIC and faxed it to him the next morning. You know, we overnighted it to the IRS first and then we faxed it to him. So I had a control number to show him. I didn't say when we sent it. I just said we sent out an OIC.
Exactly.
But exactly. The OIC shuts down all collection. So that is the only tool you guys should be using if you have a tax problem.
Right. Y'all better be taking notes. I'm telling y'all, because, man, some of y'all be talking about this stuff on social media and how to get out of it. Dr. Grayson is giving you great, great, you know, information. So let's talk debt, because that's the main thing that seems to be going on right now. How can you eliminate debt?
Okay, so we're going to use the same technique. So for every bad debt that you have, let me give you guys my phone number. So because some of this stuff, I'm making it sound very easy, but some of it takes a little of expertise. So you can always reach me or someone in my office at 718-481-3363. 718-481-3363. Or you can go to our website, build850credit.com, build850credit.com. So debt, now after COVID-19, we know everybody's going to have a debt problem.
Right.
But fortunately for you, we have debt filtration. So every single debt, bad debt in the country has a corresponding debt filter. So once again, if you have a student problem, you're going to Google student loan cancellation and forgiveness. So we know that once you do that, you will see the Obama Student Loan Forgiveness Act.
Mm-hmm.
So the Obama Student Loan Forgiveness Act brought you 4 programs. Now, most of those programs, you know, are pretty straightforward, but we use the best program. It's called ICR, Income Contingent Repayment. So the income contingent repayment based your student loan payment on your discretionary income, not on your income. I said discretionary income.
Right.
So hopefully everybody knows that discretionary income is the income you have left after you pay all your other bills. So guess what your payment is if you have no discretionary income? It's 15% is your max payment of your discretionary income. So if you're like most of my clients and you have zero discretionary income, guess what 15% of zero is?
Zero.
Zero. Go to the website, Google ICR right now on your phones and Google what is the minimum payment for the ICR program and see what you come up with. I don't want you to believe me because it sounds crazy. It sounds unbelievable. I tell people all the time, it is impossible to have a student loan debt problem in America.
Right.
Possible. So Google ICR minimum payment. You'll see the minimum payment is 0.0. So many of our clients who have student loan problems qualify for zero payments. They get scared. They'd be like, listen, one of my clients, you know, this young guy, he was telling his mom about the And his mom's like, yeah, right. Dr. Grayson lying. You know, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. So he signed up as a client and we got him in the ICR. It was zero. And when he got the acceptance letter, he went and showed it to his mom. She's like, oh, this must be illegal.
Now you done gave her everything.
I gave her everything. But it's so people have been programmed with so much bad information. That is where she was. To her a letter from the student loan people. So we use the law. We use the law to eliminate your debt, but people find it so hard to believe. That's why I say Google it for yourself.
Right.
You tell them that, I mean, you got to think about it like this. The government helps you to eliminate your debt, and I'm not talking about bankruptcy. Bankruptcy is a one-trick pony for somebody who don't know any better. You know, unfortunately, a lot of attorneys, and I want you to test this theory. Ask your attorney, how much time did they spend on debt and credit law in their law school? Ask them, how much time did you spend on debt and credit law? Almost no time, if any time.
Yeah.
So if you go to a lawyer and say, hey, I got all this debt, what should I do? Is he going to say, hey, let's find a debt filter and eliminate your debt? No, he's going to say file bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Because bankruptcy is a big payday for him, and he fills out a few forms, and it's a wrap. Debt filtration is tough. It involves a lot of paperwork. It involves a lot of expertise. And the average attorney is not going to dedicate himself to becoming an expert in debt filtration. And for good reason, because if you're a lawyer, and let's say you say, you heard this program, you say, I want to be a debt filter lawyer. That's not a good business model because most of your clients are broken, have bad credit.
And can't pay you anyway.
All right. So that's why lawyers don't specialize in that.
Right.
Clients can't afford to pay them. Now, we've been doing this successfully for 20 years. I'm considered to be the world's leading expert in it. So we've created standardized documents that make it very cost effective so we can do these things very cheaply.
Right.
We can do, and we are a nonprofit. So, you know, making a lot of money is not our primary goal.
Exactly.
Save people from misinformation. So any debt problem that you have has a core, in fact, let me ask this. We'll see who knows this. So in America, how long you can stay in debt is actually controlled by a state-level debt filter. Most people know this. If you ask people, how long can you be in debt? They'll say, 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. They're all over the place with it.
Right.
The only way to know that is to go online and Google statute of limitations. Statute of limitations. And you'll see all 50 states list their statute of limitations. So depending on what state you're in, so let me give you an example. If you live in Delaware, Delaware law says the longest you can be in debt to someone if you do the right things is 3 years. That's the longest. I don't have to file bankruptcy. I ain't got to go to court and get judgments. After 3 years of non-payment, that debt is legally uncollectible.
Wow.
So some states though are kind of scary, like Ohio, the statute of limitations is 15 years.
Ooh.
So Ohio don't like their people nearly as much as Delaware.
Exactly.
But I'm going to tell your listeners, just for you only, just because I like you, and we had a good time before the show. So I'm going to give you a secret. And listen, don't y'all be telling the feds and people I'm giving you these all these secrets.
Right.
The people you trust, because I don't know who listening. I ain't saying this for people to abuse the system. I'm trying to set you free from COVID-19. Exactly. You and your family and the people you love about your churches.
Okay, y'all, I know this is good, but we got to take a break and listen to our sponsor. But first, I know you can't wait to hear what the secret is, right? Okay, don't go anywhere. Stay right there.
The statute of limitation is dictated by the state where you live, right?
Right.
Okay, so, Leticia, you live in Ohio. You're listening to your program. They're thinking, oh, my goodness, I got to wait 15 years to get out of debt. Woe is me. COVID just rocked my financial world. Now I got to wait 15 years to get out from under.
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't.
Really?
You file bankruptcy. You could, you know, beat up and kick your dog. Or you could do something much simpler than that. You could move to Delaware.
Wow.
As soon as your debt is 3 years old, so most people haven't made a payment on bad debt. The average is about 4 years.
Right.
If you move to Delaware, guess what would happen to all your bad debt?
In 3 years, it'd go away?
And after the third year, so if you haven't paid in 4 years, all your debt is absolved the first day you move to Delaware.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm moving to Delaware.
You got me?
I'm moving.
I didn't file bankruptcy. I didn't use my retirement money. I saw an article that made me mad the other day. It said they were encouraging people to cash in their 401ks. Are you kidding? Yes. What are you going to do when you retire if you spend your 401k?
Yes. I saw that too, Dr. Grayson.
What if you get sick with COVID and you done just blew your retirement? You was really in trouble.
Exactly.
People is crazy out here giving you bad advice. Okay, so if you move to Delaware, the same day, all your debt is forgiven through the statute of limitation.
Mm-mm-mm.
So when I'm debt-free, let's say I really, all my family live in Ohio, and now I'm debt-free living in Delaware. What can I do now?
Mm-mm.
Ohio.
I was going to say, hopefully not rack up any new debt.
No. Well, hopefully you learned your lesson.
Exactly.
You know, I'm sharing some insight with you. This is not, because some people get mad. They like, doc, you tell people too much. They only going to abuse the system. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe that at all. I believe that people are mostly good. And, you know, there's a lot of creative people, a lot of entrepreneurs out there that might have the cure for cancer, or they might be able to invent an automobile to get 500 miles to the gallon. And the only thing standing between them and saving our environment or saving our lives is they're broke.
Yeah.
No access to capital because they've been fed a lot of lies and misinformation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So bad credit is one of those institutionalized racism kind of things that we're trying to defeat at this level.
Right.
You know, everybody's uniquely positioned to where they understand and they're woke on racism. And I applaud the nation for saying, hey, no more of this, but you're really looking in all the wrong places. You know, I appreciate you tearing down the statues, but I would appreciate it more if you got together and made sure everybody had 720 credit score.
Yep.
Exactly. If 10 of you, instead of protesting, if 10 of you said, listen, over the next 3 to 6 months, we're going to get 720 credit score, and the 10 of us are going to combine our credit and borrow $2.5 million, which you could easily do, you could change some things.
Yes.
Your church, what if your church had 100 members? Do you know what you could do with 100 folks and 720 credit score? All these racist companies, you could buy them out and fire them.
Exactly.
You don't like what Facebook doing? Buy up their stock and fire Mark Zuckerberg.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that if you don't have access to capital. Exactly. If many people is protesting if they could turn that into some type of financial movement where we going to get perfect credit. Do you know what? Because it's millions of people protesting.
Right.
A million people times $250,000. We could wipe racism off the planet.
Right. I was just going to say it'd be gone. Bye-bye. Boom.
Bye. You know, if a business is being racist, you could build up a competitor and blow them out the water, starve them, drive them out of business.
You sure could.
So this is my way of protesting. This is, I had an injury to my foot, so I'm listed as handicapped, so I can't get out there and march with you guys. But if I could encourage you to form groups and we call them reciprocating financial networks, RFN, and you combine the power of your credit, you could change the world in 6 months.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. That's good stuff right there. Yes. So you already talked a little bit about bankruptcy, because one of my questions was, you know, should Americans file bankruptcy? But you kind of already was like, no.
Yeah, almost never. There's very few situations where bankruptcy, where you should file bankruptcy. But again, part of the problem, it lies in the solution. So you go to your local attorney because that's who you know, can help you. And he's going to steer you to bankruptcy. So that is why there's so many people who are out there, you know, filing bankruptcy unnecessarily. But I want to share with you, I want to prove this to you. So I want to read something to you guys. Okay. So it's called the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act. So this is your primary tool for eliminating debt. So this is one of your best debt filters. So if you go, and I know nobody wants to read a whole law, so I just want you to Google Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, go to section 802. This is the second section in the act, and it's called Congressional Findings and Declaration of Purpose. So this tells you why Congress got together and created this law, and I just want to read this to you. It says, there is abundant evidence of the use of abusive, deceptive, and unfair debt collection practices. Abusive, deceptive, and unfair. So imagine if they just said one of those. If they just said abusive, that's powerful. If they said deceptive or unfair, but they said abusive, deceptive, and unfair debt practices by many debt collectors. That's a nice way of saying all of them.
Exactly.
Okay. It says abusive debt collection practices contribute to the number of, and it lists the problems. The first thing it says, it contributes to the number of personal bankruptcies. The law is telling you, you are filing bankruptcy on debt that you probably could have gotten rid of through debt filtration.
Uh-huh.
So it's technically debt that you legally don't owe. You're filing bankruptcy on debt you don't owe.
Right.
So these abusive practices lead to debt, personal bankruptcies. Marital instability is number two, and job loss. So there was a survey, and it says 60% of all failed marriages fail because of money problems.
Mm.
So you is throwing that frying pan, hitting your husband in the head over debt that you really don't owe.
Right.
You've just been fed a lot of bad information. It's a lot of bad information. So they enacted the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, but the problem is this debt filter is rarely used. Nobody uses it.
Mm-hmm.
And teaches it. So if you really want to be debt-free, you can simply read the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and it'll show you how to wipe debt. So that's what we use every day to destroy your bad debt.
Wow. And like you just said, it's all legal.
It's legal. We have the law to do it. We're not, you know, credit repair by nature is a lie. If you go to somebody in the credit repair business to fix your credit, how are they going to do it? They're going to write a letter to the credit bureau and say, that's not my account. Think about that. I'm a Christian. I can't pay somebody else to lie for me.
Right.
That's your account. You know you didn't pay that Sears bill. So how are you saying that is not mine? So by the nature of credit repair is illegal because technically that is bank fraud.
Right.
You have a bad account and somebody says that is not mine and they take it off your credit because you said it was not yours. That is bank fraud. So that's a model that is not sustainable, and that is why so many people are unhappy with credit repair.
Right.
Google this. So the top two credit repair agencies in the country, creditrepair.com and Lexington Law, are currently being sued by the Consumer Finance Protection Bureau for fraud.
Wow.
If the two largest credit repair companies in the country are being sued for fraud, what do you think about everybody else?
Right.
So credit repair is not the answer. But again, most people know that. If you ask anybody about credit repair, they're going to say, man, I got ripped off by somebody doing credit repair. Cool for some. Every time somebody say, man, I ain't spending no money on credit repair. My friend got robbed. Or I gave this dude $10,000. Nothing happened.
Right.
Oh, it can't happen. If you're going to somebody to fix your credit, ask them, what is your strategy to give me ZDC? I want you guys to write that down. Banks want ZDC, zero derogatory credit.
Mm-hmm.
Go to a credit repair guy, you want ZDC, but you tell him to fix your credit. Stop saying, fix my credit. Tell them to give you ZDC. Exactly. I'm not signing your contract unless you agree to give me ZDC, unless you give me a strategy on how the heck are you going to get to ZDC.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going to dispute everything on your credit. Okay, and then what? It's all it's all lying. After you dispute it, then what? That is the problem. They keep disputing, and eventually the credit bureau is going to get mad because you keep lying to them. And they're gonna close your credit file.
Right.
You'll let them say, hey, we're not, you've exceeded the limit for disputes. We are not accepting any more disputes from you. They're not crazy. They understand that is your account. Even if the creditor forgot to verify and it accidentally falls off your credit, it's still gonna reinsert later.
Right.
Use a debt filter, and then it's gone forever. You eliminate the debt and the bad item.
And the bad thing, too. Wow. So what about credit counseling, Dr. Grayson? Like, isn't that different than credit repair?
Okay. I'm glad you mentioned that, because the number one source that people turn to when they have a credit or debt problem is consumer credit counseling. Millions enroll every year. Millions. Let me ask you this question, ma'am. How many people, of the millions that have enrolled in consumer credit counseling, how many people do you know that has come out of that program with good credit?
Not a one.
I'm not even gonna say perfect credit. We give people perfect credit. I'm gonna just say, how many have come out with good credit? I don't know a one.
Not me neither.
Think about that, how scary that is. They call themselves consumer credit counseling.
Right.
Go in the program with bad credit, you will come out with bad credit and you'll be broke. The money you had, they had you spending it on bad debt that you could have filtered out anyway.
Right.
After 3 to 7 years of consumer credit counseling, you are broke and you have bad credit. Think about that. You are actually, if you enroll in consumer credit counseling, you're buying bad credit. You're buying it. You must love bad credit because you was paying for it. I had a client tell me they took a second job so they can make their consumer credit counseling payments. You must love that bad credit.
You, for real?
You are buying bad credit. You don't just have bad credit. You want to buy it. A paid charge-off scores the same as an unpaid charge-off. Don't let nobody lie to you. A paid judgment scores the same as a judgment. A paid tax lien scores the same as a tax lien. You have to use debt filtering.
Wow.
That is the only way. Consumer credit counseling, listen, I hate to say anything bad because it's a big industry and a lot of people work in that industry, but ask yourself, ask them, when you go, again, you're going to them for help, right? And you're going to pay all this money. They say they're nonprofit, but the reason they say they're nonprofit is because the creditor pays them. The creditor pays them 15% or whatever you pay the creditor.
Exactly. So think about,
if the creditor is paying them, who do they really work for?
The creditor.
Exactly. They have you, they say, look, we don't get you 50% off all your debt. The reason they only took 50% off is because they get 15% of that 50%. They could have got it reduced to zero.
Exactly.
But 15% of zero is zero, so that's not a good business model. So let's make them pay 50%. Then we all win. Think about it. Ask them the next time you go to consumer credit counseling, you call them, say, listen, I'm signing up so I can get zero derogatory credit. Please give me your strategy for improving your credit.
Exactly.
All you have to do is read their contract. I want you to, a debt consolidation company, consumer credit counseling, same thing, right? Read their contract. In the contract, it says enrolling can damage your credit, crazy people. It says in the contract. I dare you to read a contract. They tell you that by enrolling, you're going to ruin your credit. So why are you enrolling?
Man, that is so... Ooh, y'all better be paying attention. I'm telling y'all right now, because y'all out here listening to these folks while they advertising about they have a credit repair business.
Yep. Just ask them the truth. Ask them that on that one question. What is your strategy to get me to zero derogatory credit? Watch what happened. They're going to look at you like, what? Who? Can you leave my office? Who you been talking to? Paying for to get to zero derogatory credit so you can buy some stuff, so you can get a loan for your business.
Exactly.
Don't let people make you crazy. They will tell you whatever you want to hear. They will lie to you. So you have to ask them the right question. I don't ask people to lie to me.
Exactly.
So if you say, hey, can you help me? That's a question that's asking somebody to lie to you.
Yep, that's loaded anyway.
It's loaded. So what you ask them is, what is your strategy to get me to zero derogatory credit, and how long will it take? That's not enough information to make an educated decision.
Exactly, exactly.
Because they're going to tell you that they can't get you there. Think about that. Listen, I want somebody to call in and say they know a place, a consumer credit counseling deck, that will tell you something other than they can't get you there. Find one of them that say, this is our strategy for getting you ZDC. It's going to take us, you know, however long. Right. I dare you to find one. I've never been able to find a single
one. Yeah, it's not one anywhere out there.
It's thousands of those companies. It's thousands of credit repair places. But find one that's going to tell you their strategy to get you to zero derogatory credit so that you can just have perfect credit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Isn't
it? Are you sure I'm not crazy? Am I crazy?
No. Okay. No.
There's hundreds of thousands of these companies out there. They're advertising all around the question. Is saying all the stuff that you're programmed to want to hear, right?
Right.
But saying we're going to give you zero derogatory credit so that you fix your business.
Exactly. And you know what's scary to me, Dr. Grayson, and especially to probably some people listening, and I know people that I know, these credit repair companies are popping up all over the place, and then they want you to join, and then they want you to help people get out of debt. Like, that is scary, especially right now when you just
COVID is going to bring them out of the woodwork. So they're going to take the little money that you have and sell you a dream. What is your strategy to get me to zero derogatory credit, and how long will it take? Exactly. If you have those two questions, it's impossible to get robbed.
Yeah, that's what you're getting robbed.
You're getting robbed.
You're certainly getting robbed. So you told us about the consumer credit counseling, debt consolidation. They're not the same, but neither one of them should be used. Am I correct in saying that? Never. Good stuff. Y'all better be paying attention. Like, this is good stuff right here. This is stuff I had no clue at all about. And again, I love your entire strategy for how we can help combat racism, which is so bad right now. Like,
combat it with money.
Yes. Yes.
I need 1,000 folk listening to your show to say, listen, you give us perfect credit, we're gonna combine our credit and use it as a tool to fight racism. I dare 1,000 people to call me and say that. I dare. God, give us 800 credits so we can combine our credit and use it to fight racism.
See exactly what happened. We talked about that. I had a panel where we were talking about racism and entrepreneurism. And one of the things that we all kind of, you know, decided was, or just agreed upon, was that when we take our money and we use it, or we take it away from those companies that doesn't support us, they feel it.
We $2.3 trillion.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
That's
the only way. That's the only way in America. That's the only way. The economy. There's no other way to beat it. You know, everybody's doing is good, and it encourages me. And I know, because I was starting to get real concerned about America, because I was thinking, you know, that I had woke up in an alternate universe where racism was going to take over this country. Very discouraged. So this right here, you know, warms my heart to see so many people from so many nationalities unified and persistent. They're not going away. They're saying, listen, we are here to stay until this problem is solved. So now I need some of those people to channel that energy into finances.
Exactly. Oh, this is good stuff. Good stuff. I am so glad you came on. So tell us how we can get connected to you. So I know you say you dropped your number, and I'm going to make sure that's in the show notes.
Okay.
What's the website again?
Okay, so the website is build850credit.com. Build850credit.com, because that's what I want people to, I put out a new saying. It's called keeping it 800. 800. That's what I want everybody to start saying. We keeping it 800.
Right.
So that is our goal. We want to build 850credit.com. And our number again is 718-481-3363. So if you're listening and you're serious about perfect credit and you understand the benefit of having access to $250,000 to $1 million, you know, call me. I know some people hear $1 million and they really get scared. You know, some people are scared of money. And I appreciate that, you know. But if you're serious about making a difference and you want access to some real money so you can start changing things in your world for the people you care about, call me. Call me tomorrow morning, 718-481-3363, or check us out. Google me.
Right. You know,
our company has an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. Right. And I sue the credit bureaus. I sue everybody who is messing with the American dream. Right now, I got Equifax in court. Google it. Grayson versus Equifax. I got them knuckleheads on the rope, too.
Right.
I don't have an attorney, and I have no legal background. They're on their third law firm. They fired their first two law firms because they can't handle me.
Whoa.
You can't beat me in debt court. Ain't nobody in the country, no law firm. I don't care how big they are. Their law firm is the 20th ranked law firm in the country. They can't do nothing with Dr. Grayson.
I know that's right, Dr. Grayson.
How are you justifying firing two top 100 firms? Now you're on the third firm against somebody that don't even have a lawyer. Man, y'all better get out of here.
They playing themselves. Like they say, they tried it.
Right. You showing your hand. How we playing poker and you just showed me your hand.
Exactly. And that's why you ain't worried. What they say, I ain't worried about nothing.
I ain't worried about it.
Oh, but my God.
We give that to all of our clients. Exactly. We got right on our side and we destroy the enemies.
Exactly.
American dream. America is still the last vestige of hope for the world. It's the last true, you know, middle class society on the planet. Everybody is devolving into some kind of quasi dictatorship. But America, and I'm not going to let the one percenters change that. Not on my watch.
Exactly. Like, no, you know
the job you're doing. I appreciate you having me on the show. You know, we need you to be a champion for justice. So I encourage you to keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed you. I'm so glad that we got to chat. And this will not be our last time chatting.
I know. And send me a copy of the show so I'm going to share it with all my people. And we're going to get the word out there.
We'll do that.
All the best questions. And I think we covered the thing that's really on everybody's mind. So I want to make sure we get this out there.
Yes, definitely. Thanks again.
All right.
Thank you for tuning in to The Convo. I hope you enjoyed the show. Be sure to subscribe on Anchor or Apple Podcasts.